Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 427 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Chipper, boys. What a start to the week, hey?
No reason not to be,
super
mate.
Super happy. I'm actually gutted. Gutted, I tells you. Sincerely, I'm gutted. And I'm in a fucking dark place right now. Because Foxtel, their budget fucking Australian ass editing and television production facilities have not released an episode of Tiger Town for me to enjoy this week.
Really? What have they done instead? Because last time it was
Nothing.
Ricky.
We thought that it was Ricky, and we thought that prior to that it was the Olympics, and we thought all. But no, it's just the fact that I think. Well, I don't think it's because of poor work on their on Fox Sports' behalf. What I think it is. Is that I think they've got all this footage they've recorded from, you know, the blocks of games, and I think that they're editing the episodes to fit a narrative that they are writing on the fly depending on how the West Tigers are going. So after the events of this weekend, I would expect that the narrative is going to start looking bad for that, like, you know, Madge is under pressure and his job is in jeopardy. But that's going to be the.
This is what I said at the beginning. There's only a couple of outs here. There's they make the finals.
Epically make the finals after a decade out.
That's it.
Yep. Just miss or finish ninth, LOL.
Land a star player for next year. You know, there's so many things.
They got Jacko Hastings and some fucking guy from England.
Yeah, true. And it's a documentary, I get it, but you still need arcs.
Yeah, well, this one of the potential arcs is, you know, the demise of Pasco and or Madge, and that arc appears to be well and truly still on the table. So
I think they will just continue with the line that the picture that they seem to be painting, willingly or otherwise, of Pasco. I think Madge comes out of it okay regardless.
He looks like a good bloke, and he's kind of like a sympathetic protagonist of this show.
And here's the thing. You can't, like, you look at someone like Noffa, you know, and that
that's got to be the next episode,
right? I spend a lot of time looking at him.
that rant that he goes on, you know, on social media when he threw his mates under the bus.
Yeah.
About the A and B defenders not doing their job. And
that's got to be on the next episode, right? I mean, the timeline would probably fit.
It does, but you can look at a rugby league player on the field and their deficiencies are obvious. Like, you can look at Luke Brooks and the decisions he makes and how he executes those fifth tackle options, and you can see some deficiencies there because you see that live. It's hard to see Madge's coaching deficiencies, if any. He may just definitely not have the cattle, and no coach could do anything with that team.
Yeah.
But I think that's his only shining light in this sort of process. He gets to do that, you know, any given Sunday, I'm standing up in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's them who didn't go out and execute.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, there's not someone there saying, well, fuck, this is the ninth opposed training session he's had him run this week, and he made this one miss his kid's fucking first day of school to do a beep test or whatever it was that he was accused of doing at Souths. I think he's potentially the only main star in this doco series that works in rugby league again after this.
Including the players?
Seriously, like Dewey would get a gig somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who else do you take out of that side?
Dane Laurie.
Well, he's not really in the side.
Well, because he's injured currently.
Yeah, but he'll be out of it next year anyway.
Because he's on loan.
Yeah.
This wishful thinking thing. And because it's the Tigers, it may happen. And I'm not going to count it out. But certainly Tamau looks, he looks poor in it.
Yeah.
And when you, if you just watch the show, I think you'd be like, that guy, I don't know, he's supposed to be a leader and he's a captain, but really. But then if you put that in tandem with what you watch on the weekends, he looks worse.
Yeah.
Brooks, the only person that says less than Luke Brooks on that show is Simon Dwyer, which is...
Who still, at this point, he's working...
Has not uttered a word. Yeah.
Yep, still zero.
The Mountain.
Yep, up to 3 episodes. But anyway, I can't wait for the next episode because I can't wait to do another game companion for the patrons because that was great fun. And I mean, it certainly makes it very manageable for us. I mean, if they're going to space these episodes out every fucking 2-3 weeks, I mean,
true.
It makes it very easy. I mean, I'm happy to do watch-alongs on Monday night at 7:30. I don't give a shit. I'm not even trying to be funny. I mean, I fucking love it. I love the show. I fucking love it. It's really my favorite show at the moment.
And if you're not currently subscribed to Patreon, get on there. Not because I think it's great content, but the Air Jordans came out today. Daddy needs some new sneakers.
Let's hit some recaps.
I just want to say that I don't think your official title or job description includes high-level sales, but it should because that is like straight to the point, fucking dagger to the heart. Here's what I've got to sell. Here's why I want to sell it to you.
It's not this manipulative psychobabble.
I fucking love it.
You know, I'm not claiming, as others in our Patreon group do, that this program of ours on Patreon has helped them lose weight, has helped them make them more attractive to the opposite sex. I'm not making those claims that others may. Wow. Recaps.
Oh, that was the most inelegant fucking transition.
Patreon.com. Sign up now. Well, I can't. Which one
is the ones coming out? Are they out tomorrow? Oh, it's tomorrow at 7 a.m. isn't it? Or
today?
Or today was it? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh well, they're already bought it, aren't they? They're in the robots own those Jordans now. And you'll have to buy them for retail plus X.
That's what I'm saying. Sign up for Patreons, motherfucker.
The first game, round 23, of course, was the round in question. The first game was the Melbourne Storm 34, defeated the Gold Coast Titans 20. And this one took place down at Cbus. The Storm 34 came through tries to Seve, Grant, Munster, a double to the Fox, and Nico Hines. Pappy, 5 of 6 conversions. The Titans 20 came through a double to Jaden Campbell, Greg Marzu, and Tyrone Peachy also with tries, Fogarty, 2 of 4 conversions.
Munster's best game of the year, I thought, by a long way.
Yeah.
Which is pretty ominous, given we're a couple of weeks out from the finals. You put that in tandem with the fact that Pappenhausen slotted in nicely, more touches, more minutes.
Yep.
You still got Jerome Hughes to come back into the side again, and he was, you know, you wouldn't think his fantastic form is going to dip. For a team that's won 19 on the trot, it's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah, Harry Grant got it done, and yeah. with Cheese given a rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see him and the boys in front of the TV drinking Carver watching the fucking game. So, look, they've got a lot. This was a game where they rested players.
Mm.
And still, despite a spirited start from the Titans, I mean, the Titans started, you know, they started great.
Yeah, they did.
And like, Marzu's turned into you know, a decent finisher. And yeah. Like you're sort of one of those sort of powerful guys because yeah. I mean that try he scored he didn't there was no space really for him. I mean
no.
He just sort of had to truck two or three guys and just get over, you know, which is good signs there. And
Herbert's run before that too shouldn't be understated.
Yeah. And Jaden Campbell's, he's basically a fetus. And he brings so much. We joke about AJ Brimson and shit, but like, I mean, at this stage with his injury concerns, seemingly constantly injured, and then just the youthful exuberance and unpredictability that Jaden Campbell brings to the table.
I'd be
very quickly working to slot him in at number one.
And then what? Arseholing Brimson altogether?
Well,
because where else can he play?
Yeah, I don't support the use of Brimson as a sub like he did in Queensland. I think it's a waste of a fucking sub. He doesn't have true utility.
He's played some six. Do you get him in there just for the whole, you know, best players on the field mentality?
Well, yeah, because I'd also be arseholing Ashley Taylor. And so, mate, perhaps a slot does open up, you know, because whilst Jaden Campbell, you know, the youth and everything is great, and while Sexton sort of went okay during his times filling in the halves, I think that he's more of a future project, though.
Yeah.
And not quite ready to be, you know, to just take right over. So, you know, maybe. I mean, and if it came down to the fact, oh, shit, we've got nowhere to play Brimson, I mean, you know, three doesn't fit into two. Do we get rid of Ash Taylor or Brimson? Then, I'm probably torpedo on Taylor.
But, you reckon?
I'd get rid of Brimson before Taylor.
Yeah. I mean, if it's the two of them. But Taylor's not worth the money he's on either, you know what I mean? Like, he's just not.
No, I agree with you, but he brings... If you gun nothing. To my head, I'd take Taylor.
He brings nothing. Yeah.
Is Taylor in that Luke Brooks mould, as in he's fucked for the Titans? And they like he needs to get somewhere else now before he turns into Luke Brooks Mark II?
These are all sort of chicken and egg scenarios, though. Do they turn into this sort of, you know, head fucked player because they're paid more money than they're worth and they don't give any satisfaction or you know any return on that investment, and then as a result you've got the media and internal club forces pressing against them like, motherfucker, you've been paid all this money and we're not getting any return out of it.
But not
being the people that forced them to take that amount of money in their contract. You know what I mean? It's like,
yep, no, I get you.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Taylor's had some good touches this year, and he's had some game losing touches too, I think. I mean, compounding errors, you know, like two errors back to back that can, you know, change the complexion of a game. But back to the point at hand, though, the Titans started fucking great.
Yeah. I think they did. And I think the Titans were, you would say that the Titans were definitely competitive in this game, and Melbourne still went about their work and just wore them down. And I don't think Melbourne ever felt troubled.
No,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, not as one who doesn't really listen to the commentary. I mean, I would be certain that the Titans would have been delighted with the way that first half went for them.
Yeah, sure.
But then the second half, the Storm just did their Storm thing and suffocated them, took their chances, scored some long-range shit.
Yeah.
And really, you know, with the exception of maybe Nicho Hynes probably being pushed out of the role that he's had, and, you know, obviously he has to sort of make way for Pappy and being pushed in just as cover in the halves, probably not his happiest game. Mm. But otherwise, and Seve, you know, he started off pretty ordinary as well. But other than that, Storm just clicked into gear in that second half. They just relentlessly just rolled them.
Mm-hmm. I think the Titans, 2022 Titans, with another off season and this year of experience under their belt, I think they've got plenty of pieces, and the onus is really going to be on the coach to pull it together. They've had a year now together, and they've put some impressive performances together, and they've had some games that, you know, that they really didn't turn up. I think the consistency really needs to come from David Fifita as a forward leader, first and foremost. But
I don't even think it's consistency. I think there are deeper issues of mental fortitude in terms of, and I'm not taking a shot at anyone here, but it's apparent every year. It's a long fucking season, you know, and the Titans haven't even done it in patches. Like, at least a club like Parramatta were, you know, shit, they're a top four side for a vast portion of this season. They're a top four side. The ladder fucking says so. So say what you like about them and rip shit out of any shit cunt individuals like Gutho you like. They're a top four side.
Mm.
And now they're starting to peter off because it's hard to keep that mental level going for an entire season. I want to see the Titans do it for three games.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I don't think it's like a long season that's the issue here, because they haven't done the consistency thing at all.
Yeah.
This season. Not, like you said, over a period of three games.
I want to see Fifita, you know, being in a situation where he's not the first one that goes missing, when there's some pushback, where he's like what Pangai does for Brisbane. How many games have there been that Brisbane have absolutely fucking folded? And I'm sorry, not Pangai, Payne Haas. You know, and Haas is out there working his fucking guts off.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I need to see out of Fifita, and to a lesser extent, Tino.
Yeah.
Before I get fooled again by this, oh, the Titans have got a great young forward pack.
Fair.
Yeah. Tino had a fair game. I mean, he was put, I mean, you know, revenge game for him against his, you know, he was putting on some shots.
Yeah, but how was he last week? And how will he be next week?
Yeah, but the thing about the Titans is, consistency aside, I mean, they have the ability within the players to put on some great attack and some ad-lib attack and that sort of thing. But the one thing they need to do is they need to sort out their fucking defense, because, again, the most elementary, just fucking soft, like that Harry Grant try.
Yeah.
Just soft, you know, just snap moments of brainlessness and laziness and things like that, coupled with the fact they're not a great defensive side anyway in the first place, even when they are switched on.
That speaks to Jay's point about consistency, let alone week after week after week, but patches in games as well.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm not even talking about consistency. I'm talking about they need a fucking proper defensive coach that can teach this side a defensive structure that they can fucking default themselves into when they're under the pump. Because
let's be honest, they're not the only side that could do with that.
Well, that's true, but I mean, we're not talking about that yet, and I don't want it to be like a gang up on Glennie situation here.
What's that, mate?
We'll talk about it because I'm here for an offload, mate, and like, I feel like I'm acutely aware of mental health, and I know that you're just about ready to hit that point where you take the toaster for a bath. So, socials,
Jai said, plenty of talk the last few weeks that Pappy looks timid, etc. Man, I fucking cringe every time that guy has a hit up, gets tackled. So how can he be expected to block it from his mind? Good to see they're killing it, though.
Did you see the try that he set up where he put the fox over? They went through the hands and he it was draw and pass. But along the same lines, the player rushed up and put a shot. I wouldn't say smashed him, but certainly knocked him on his ass.
Yep.
And the first thing I thought was, oh, fuck, is he going to get up?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
Look, I think the Storm have just taken an incredibly conservative approach to his comeback, and not only with the weeks he had out before he even stepped foot on a field again, but also the fact that he's been edged in from the bench, you know, over a number of weeks. I think he's right. I mean, I would, you know, I hope I'm right, but I think he's right.
And
I think they've taken it so conservatively that he's they're just extra sure that he's right. You know?
I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. There's this technique the Storm are using with him called "Let's listen to doctors." News reports out of Melbourne on the weekend says that there are lots of people who don't want to do that.
Funny thing is. The funny thing is about those same people in Melbourne you were just speaking about, Stepdad. They seem to be particularly fond of calling people sheeple, yet they were the ones that I saw being herded down one street.
By guys on horses.
So, I don't know, the world's gone fucking topsy-turvy upside down.
It's like all those emo kids that say they're alternative and away from the mainstream and all dress exactly the same.
In a uniform.
Yeah, fuck. But look, with Pappy, I think the heightened concern and knowledge now around CTE has made everyone else hyper aware of it. I don't think they would put him in a game if there was the risk of one knock, yeah, you know, putting him out. Sure. This isn't the movie where it's like, if you get one more knock, your life could be over and he has to get out there and, you know, kick the match-winning field goal.
A player ever gets to that position and that player's career is well and truly ended.
Is coordinated.
They're not even allowed back onto the training paddock.
They are coordinated. Jason said, Fifita still has Darius levels of defence to work out of him. Darius has more runs, though. You're right. Michael said, Fifita equals big-headed fucking paycheck-stealing king dick. Purple pride at it again. History in the Maka-ing. And I say it like that because he spelled it M-A-K-E-I-N-G.
Fucking hell.
So, you know, maybe he's had that 5G shot.
We pride ourselves on our education.
Jesus Christ. Stephen.
And this is what we get.
Hang on, you say we. Us. Who?
Well, yeah, Australia.
Oh, okay.
Stephen said, I think we basically saw what we all wanted from Paps tonight, ran it as hard as ever with some effectiveness, also copped a headshot or two and just laughed them off. Great to see. Ned, that young Jaden Campbell is a bright light. Crazy, he is an irregular starter. Definitely one to watch for the future. And Winston on Instagram said, Melbourne playing the first 20 minutes with a St. George-like intensity. It did take him a while to click into gear. That's that game. On to the next one.
Friday Night Football. The mighty Manly Seagulls 19 defeated the Raiders 18 at Suncorp Stadium in front of yours truly. Manly's 19 came through tries to Homoli, Olakwatu, Morgan Harper and Curtis Sirenin. Garrick, 3 of 3 conversions. Field goal to DCE. The Raiders came through tries to Harley Smith-Shields, Bailey Simonson, and Chance Nickel Klukstar in his return after 4 months out with a neck injury. Sam Williams and Jordan wrapping up with a conversion apiece and a penalty goal to Sam Williams. So,
all yours.
This was a lovely night out of football on Friday. It is tough to fucking get in on for that Friday 6 p.m. game. I'm not going to lie, but we got there and it was my daughter's first live game. So, you know, nerves are plenty there because when you bring a new variable into a game, you always wonder if they're a fucking jinx or not. But by the nature of Daly Cherry Evans and his clutch field goal kicking, she passed the test and she can come to future games. The game itself, like the Raiders, they're so close to being, you know, they're so close to being a competitive side. And it's just the... And it's just these moments that just stop. Like their defense, you know, by and large was very good, and their attack let them down. I mean, I felt like even at 12-0 down at halftime, I felt like Manly had them completely covered in terms of defensively, and they weren't really throwing a lot at them. And it was Manly that had to get their attack together to actually, you know, just to go ahead and win the game. I thought they were very fortunate, the Raiders. That second try that they scored is one of the most fucking perplexing fucking refereeing things I've seen in a long time, where I think it was Garrick spilled a bomb on the last tackle. So it's a knock on Manly. The Raiders fucking had a... It was a bastardization of the advantage rule. That's right. Garrick knocks it on.
Can't have Raiders you scoop. Watch this game or what?
Yeah, Raiders scooped it up, and the Raiders player, I think it was Gula, is tackled. He's tackled. Okay, so that's play over. He gets up, and through no fault of any Manly player, just his own you know frittardiness, he drops the ball when he tries to play the ball. I mean, the fucking tackle is already completed from the previous play. That's advantage fucking over, right? I mean, there's no fucking way you get to get tackled and then make a mistake on the next play for advantage to be fucking dissolved, to be continued. It's ridiculous.
From the way you've explained it, no, it's not.
He was tackled and he was making a following play the ball. I mean, the play was fucking... I get it if they had have caught the ball...
No, he was making the play of the ball from that tackle, though.
There was the next play who started with the play of the ball. He caught the ball, ran, got tackled.
I would argue, and this is fucking semantics, and it's not just because Manly are shit cunts. I would suggest the next play starts.
Premiership favourites.
I would suggest that the next play starts when the play of the ball is complete.
Yeah, well, if you fucking play the ball, then that's not, that's fucking...
So if the play of the ball was never completed, it was still the previous tackle. Therefore, the referee is entitled to play advantage. If you're arguing semantics.
Well, yeah, I think when you're arguing semantics, the play ends when the player is called tackled and called
held. I would also like to argue the semantics that people that win and still ref's fault are the lowest fucking form of scum.
I'm not ref's faulting because it's impossible to claim ref's fault when there is no fucking loss to assign fault to. This was a very easy victory. I was just merely pointing out a refereeing incident within the game that I thought was interesting and incorrect. And that's all. And I will do it for future games as well in this round. In fact, the very next game.
Hashtag 44.
And the... what else did I say about this game? Homoli, fucking unstoppable, and always looked the most likely to score for us, and obviously opened the account for us. Suli had an almost great game. I mean, he made some yardage and he busted some fucking tackles, and because they didn't have Tommy there, obviously they had to adjust what they were doing out there on the left hand side, and so rather than sort of hitting Tommy behind and then going over the top to Garrick in the corner, they would drift left and then turn it inside for Suli, who would then trample the guy in front of him and make some decent meters. All he really needed to turn that game into an excellent overall game is just develop a little bit of an offload or a fucking pass to supporting player, because he created so many half chances in this game with his first up sort of line breaks or tackle busts that it really should have been more advantage taken of those to convert those sort of half chances into tries. Yep. But Dez doesn't really like to bring players into the side unless. Yeah, in a winning side, unless there's like an injury force sort of change. And with Parker, I mean, like, you just wonder if, it's a bit of a, trump card or an X factor for the finals there with Suli there instead of Parker, because defensively...
He had a fucking great game.
Yeah, and defensively he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, the defensive mistakes on that side of the field were fucking Funa, who... He was great, like backing up on the wing and fullback for us like two seasons ago, but this season he's had probably four chances and he has been absolute AIDS every fucking time. Like that first try that the Raiders scored in this game should never have been scored. There was no man advantage. They were covered, but for some reason Funa jammed in on the same guy that Suli had and just left fucking Harley Smith Shield. I mean, admittedly, it took a very good pass, like an offload sort of shot out underneath to get the ball to him, but. Still, I mean, there was no need to fucking leave yourself short like that, and then again at the end there with that try that they the break like right at the end that Canberra scored in the last sort of minute, also caught short out there with Funa. So I think in a situation where you've got like Rubes out there and you had Suli in the center, I think that it could be a good combination.
Surely he's a better pick than Parker.
They both have their issues. I think Suli has a much higher upside though.
Mm.
Like I think Parker extracts every single bit of quality that he can out of the talent that he has been blessed with. Like there's not a single better thing that he can do. Suli, however, has more. The mistakes that Parker makes are usually because he throws himself at the line like a fucking kamikaze forward. And sometimes, the ball can get, just blasted out of him because he's just throwing everything at it,
The knock on Suli, obviously, is that he can be fucking lazy.
Yes.
In every facet of the game.
Yeah, and that's the real danger when you have out out there on our left-hand side, you have, Foran and then, Schuster and then Suli.
Mm.
I mean, there's some big and slow-turning circle kind of characters out there that could perhaps be taken advantage of late in the game, and maybe that's something that you don't want, to sort of put on the menu for other sides. But I mean, in attack, he was fucking great.
Just can you comment, and we'll get to it when we get to the socials. The vast majority of views on the game were that Manly played down rather than the Raiders playing up. and it was that thing of, you know, one man being out. How much, look, real talk, how much of a different team are they with no Tommy?
Oh, I mean, offensively, like, fucking heaps different. I mean, clearly, this game, that this game was a perfect example of it. I mean, like, you know, defensively, the Canberra Raiders didn't have a great deal for them. And it was really the fact that they couldn't, because they weren't putting on the offense that they normally were, they weren't soaking up as much of the gas tank of the Raiders and all that. So although the Raiders did, walking off at halftime, they looked fucked. And I saw how fucked they looked, and I thought, well, okay, the second half, it's, you know, it should be okay. You know, I wasn't sort of panicking. But, you know, with Manly actually having more attacking chances, more repeat sets and all that sort of thing, then obviously that saps the gas tank even more. Yep. And, you know, turns the tables, you know, much more. Then they've got less to offer in attack against them and, yeah, and so on. So, I mean, it all sort of, you know, especially the way the game is played in 2021, I mean, it all sort of, you know, sort of ties itself together like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously they're different, but I think the vast majority is in attack, though.
Yeah.
But the 2021 game, the more you're attacking and the more points you're scoring, the less you're defending and the less the other teams have for you when it's your turn to defend.
Yeah,
perfect. You know, it's more like that, I think. But, you know, the Canberra up for, I mean, their season was, you know, pretty much on the line.
Yep.
And you know, played accordingly. I did get a hearty laugh, though. Like, I laughed so fucking hard when Jordan Rapana went for that field goal at the end, and it just was like, didn't get fucking 2 meters off the ground the whole way. Because I was sitting on the left hand, where the grandstand was, I was sitting on the left hand side of the Manly section. So immediately to my left was just, it was all Raiders. Like the bay over and like the five or six seats to my left, though, it was like all Raiders and everything. So I got a great laugh at those guys. And I tell you, I've also scientifically discovered that during this game that trolling is hereditary. With my fucking son, he has to get fucking, I have to take him back to jiu-jitsu because he's going to need it, because he's fucking, look, he's got fucking troll mentality born with it. I got him some chips or something at the game.
Cry me a fucking river.
I'll tell you the story. I got him some hot chips at the thing before the game, and Killy goes, you know, do you want some salt? And I was like, oh, I'll just grab a couple. And so he's, little do I know, when we get down to the seats, he's grabbed a handful, like, you know, 10 to 15, you know, sachets of salt. And at the end of the game, he comes up to me with the salt, and he goes, can I go pass these out to the Canberra fans? I said, leaving the ground. Oh my God. I'm so proud of you.
Look, no, mine's going to get legit stabbed. Mine's going to get legit stabbed. Like, he's taken to fucking, like, driving, we're driving past, the window down.
Yep.
And you see the fucking, the kids walking around with the TNs and the bum bag and the fake Gucci hat. and he's out the window, you know, oh, Esheba! Look, he's going to get fucking shanked.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Please, especially if
yours is offering condiments with that good-natured baby face of his. You'll be fucking fine.
Well, I mean, yeah, and yeah, I mean, but yours also, I mean, remember, I mean, yeah, he's going to get stabbed anyway because, you know, he's wearing fucking little kid-sized Jordans. So the SA is going to they're going to want that for their little fucking cousin.
Love it. Joey said Manly is a one-man team. Without Tommy, they are junk.
Still one bitch, shut the fuck up.
Toto said, has any team become more of a shell of themselves missing one player more than Manly? Oof. Andrew,
do one bitch, suck my dick, Toto.
This game management by DCE and Foz has been superb. I, for one, am enjoying the fucking shit out of crafty veteran Kieran Foran.
Yeah, me too. That's been a highlight of my watching Manly this year. Tom Turbo's been fantastic, but Kieran Foran's resurgence is been fucking fantastic.
He's almost like buyer of the year across the league, fucking level, the way he's playing at the moment. And it's not even that he's had to adjust himself into this crafty veteran thing so much. I mean, he's legit fucking wound back the clock to the way he played when he wasn't injured, and, you know, he was at his peak.
No, he's not as much of a defensive, like, kamikaze.
He's still fucking taking the tough. He's still taking the tough runs into the teeth.
Mm. Anyway, Ben said Manly are good, but they aren't more than 1 point than a gaffer tape back together shit show Canberra good.
2 points. Tiger. 2 points is 2 points, friend.
Biggest Tiger said the second half has been so dominant that field goal felt disrespectful. There you go.
I think you wanted to talk about disrespectful field goals.
Cat like seven. I mean, said Sully tonight realised he is 6'2 and 110 kilos.
Yeah. And you love to see it. You love it when he's big. I mean, this year, you know, Paseka and Sip, all those guys have realised that, you know, they're actually gigantic man mountains.
And at one golfer in cart said, Pete Canberra tonight, as the saying goes, it's the hope that kills you. Was Rapana trying for a grubber kick or is he that dire at kicking field goals?
Hey, Rapana was fucking fantastic, you know, defensively for them. Yeah, he pulled them out of some shit there. I'll tell you, the player that really impressed me, you know, watching at the ground was that Timoko. He's fucking, like, he's fast. Every time he had the ball, he was, like, elusive and sort of pushing away from tackles and sort of, you know, working away from the defensive line. He's skillful. I mean, he's the one that put the pass in for Harley Smith-Shields to score that try when he was, you know, double-teamed by Sully and Funa.
I noticed him last week. He, you know, in a side that has, you know, has been struggling for real form.
Yeah.
His acceleration and his low center of gravity, he's fucking tough to handle, that kid.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because he had the lime green headgear. He was really easy to pick out as well. But I mean, but he was great. I mean, he did get trampled a couple of times by Sully. But I mean, I'm sure that, you know, like, they would have had Croker there if he wasn't there. And I mean, you know, it would have been the same fucking story.
Yeah. On to the next one.
Okay. The Panthers 25 defeated the Rabbits 12. The Panthers tries through Nathan Cleary, Stephen Crichton, Brent Naden, and Appy Korosau. Cleary, two conversions, two penalty goals, and a field goal. The Rabbits 12 tries to Gagai and Mitchell. One conversion to Reynolds, one penalty goal.
All yours, bud.
It was. And back to the discussion about Melbourne. The difference in the two top teams at the moment, because they're vastly different in terms of their style of play, but the similarities that sets them apart from the rest of the league is they've cracked this code of playing 80 minutes of football, and they've cracked this code of understanding that they are capable of playing 80 minutes of football. Whereas you look at the Titans, they got involved for one half and then couldn't go on with it when Melbourne went up a gear. And Souths came out and had all of the running, did exactly what Souths are going to do. They fucking dominated on their left edge. Latrell was floating around, ends up on the other side of the field, scores himself. They were at their damaging best. But at no stage did Penrith look flustered. And really, they just went about their business. They have this understanding that, you know, this is our game plan and we're just going to stick to it. And a game plan isn't, we're going to do this thing and it's going to come off the first time and we're going to score. You know, the game plan is we need to put the ball between Mansour and Latrell all night. Just like when you're coming up in attack, the more decisions you can make a defender make, the better for your attacking side. The more decisions you can make a fullback and a winger make between themselves, the better it's going to be, you know, for your starter defensive sets. And the fact that they just kept to their plan, they took their opportunities when they came, and then as soon as it was 10-12, you could see Souths were starting to crack. And that was where the difference was the most obvious. When Penrith were 12 zip down, that they didn't look as if they were panicking, and Penrith weren't even in front yet, and Souths were head fucked. You know, by the time that there were more points put on, and there were 25 unanswered points in that game, but the Cody Walkers and Adam Reynolds didn't have an answer for it. You know, and the performances from Kikau, I think that was one of the better games I've seen him play. I don't know whether coming off the bench has done that whole, you know, spark him to do something better, or whether it's just him rolling the sleeves up and needing to perform. The the fact that Stephen Crichton had to move back to fullback and the entire line was reshuffled didn't help, but they took it in their stride. Again, it's just their ability to meet challenges and not be mentally fucked by them that's keeping them in games. And that second half of football, while it was far from their best, is the closest I've seen to their previous peak from before the Cleary and Luai injuries in Origin.
Said a few weeks ago, you know, I mentioned the old adage, iron sharpens iron, and I think the way South come out and had the better start and the better of the running, and they certainly made the most of it. But Penrith, to your point, said, you know, righto, we're behind. We've weathered the barrage. We've got it. We now have a turn to ask questions of South. And the second South, certainly Mansour and Mitchell at the back looked like that they were going to have trouble handling the kicking game, certainly the high balls. They found a crack and they fucking exploited it to absolute perfection. They kept going back there and they kept getting joy from it. They just come back and they kept punching harder and harder, and then eventually they couldn't go with them. And it, you know, really impressive. And to think that they, you know, with the fact that they did have to reshuffle, as you say, and they were still a considerable margin, in my opinion, off their best, and still beat the third or fourth best, you know, at worst, the fourth best team in the comp.
Yep.
Quite handily in the end.
The thing is about South is that they were the, like, when it works for them, it works for them, with Mitchell and Walker being like, when they get under someone's skin.
Mm.
But as we've seen at all levels of the game, if the shoe's on the other foot and they're the ones that get fucking, you know, for want of a better word, triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It fucks them. Because despite everything you guys just said, which I agree with 100%, despite all of that Penrith did, and you talk about, you know, the way that they were sort of, you know, targeting sort of between Mansour and me, they were getting joy, but they weren't getting points or anything from it. That game was in the balance until 20 minutes to go. It was tied up until 20 minutes to go, longer than that. But the turning point, I reckon, of the game, because South was still, I mean, they weren't on top, but they were still in it. I mean, it was an arm wrestle. But that fucking downtown rule thing, which was 100% correct decision from the referee, and frankly, given the state of the refereeing this year, I'm surprised that he even picked it up to call, you know, to adjudicate on it, because I'm sure if we went through other games, you know, it wouldn't be getting rigorously adjudicated on. Whilst 100% right, that's the point there where South got that's where they got super head fucked, because even though it was a correct decision, they didn't realize, they took it like they'd been rorted, essentially, you know what I mean? And then from there, that was where the game was ended. And I mean, we've seen Annesley come out today, and that Leota try, the commentators were saying it at the time, but the Leota try being, one that, you know, obviously it was fine, but, you know, by the letter of the law, it should have been pulled back for an obstruction, and they've said it should have been. But that was the point there, that 20 minutes to go with South, that's the moment when to me, that was it. They're out of the game, even though it was still tied.
Mm.
And it just goes to show that they're just as attackingly brilliant as they are, defensively they're there to be exploited, and mentally they're just fucking, they're not at the same level.
No,
of the time. That's going to be their undoing, and that's something that Wayne probably can't fix.
Not in three weeks.
No. Exactly. I mean, that's just, we've seen it with Cody. We've seen it with him against like the Bulldogs. I mean, they haven't lost the game by any stretch, but he's been completely just sucked into the shithousery of the game and hasn't done any of the things that, you know, that have him earning Dally M points hand over fist, you know, and this game was another one. I mean, if you can apply enough scoreboard pressure on them that they're not winning or flogging you, and then drag that they drag him and especially him and Latrell into the shithousery.
They go willingly though. For guys that don't handle it when it comes back at them at a rate or of a volume that they can't cope with, or if certain things, as you say, don't go their way, but they go willingly into that, expecting that they're going to have the upper hand, and then when it fucking turns,
if you can turn the game or not let them get it out in front, exactly, and it's just a massive weakness in Souths, and that's what's going to cost them against. Yeah, they're going to have to go up against the Panthers and or the Storm, you know, at some point over the next month. And when that happens.
And you would imagine Bellamy would have watched that.
Yeah.
So if they come up against South, you could imagine what Munster and
jeez,
those guys, you know.
They've got so many people who are... They've got so
half
many people
their fucking side does that shit every game.
They've got so many people who are fucking... who control an opponent's head out of the fucking game. So, yeah. That's all I got to say about that.
Fantastic. Anthony said, now I know why Momorowski doesn't pass. With two kick try assists, he doesn't need to. Now, interesting contrast in how the game was seen. First of all, Joey said, good game. The ref fucked half of it, but good game. And Conan said, such a well-refed game. Only 2-6 agains. It was like being back in the good old days. South grubbery got penalised when required.
There was a lot of talk about Panthers being favourably officiated. I don't know that I saw a huge amount of that to me.
When you look at cold numbers, it's like and if you hadn't seen any games, I mean you would definitely ask questions because you'd go in the last month, Souths have played four games. Yep. The first three of those games, they conceded 13 penalties. In the fourth game, which is the Panthers game, they conceded 13 penalties alone in the single game. And so, when you look at it just on face value, you go, what the fuck, you know?
And look, to his credit, Wayne was asked about that in the post-game interview, and not once did he put that back on the referees.
Mm.
Not fucking once.
Yeah, there's no return for his side, and like the way, you know, the mentality, you know, the mental deficiencies that we saw, there's absolutely no fucking benefit for him to allow them to offset their own, you know, culpability to a referee.
Yeah. Ben said two things to be taken from tonight's game. Rabbitohs are as good, if not better, than first thought. The Panthers are nowhere near their best, still an absolute force. And if you don't think they'll get better next week, suck my zuck from the top. That's what pressure does. Just got to build it. Chris said, Panthers too good. Good to see poor Penn Guy Jr. win. What was it, his third NRL game? Ha ha ha. Ryan said, can't help but think that my Bunnies just played the Panthers back into form. It's pretty crazy to see the most structured team in the comp and the most play-what-you-see-field team sitting 1 and 2. Throw the Bunnies and the Manlies in the top four and the finals are going to be a little bit of fun to watch. Hashtag fuck the Broncos.
You think the Bunnies played him into form? Where do you see fucking this week?
Oh, I don't know.
Wouldn't be surprised if they rest some players, to be honest. I mean, it seems to be resting season for teams coming up. We'll fucking get to you, Gletty.
You know what? That'd be fucking tremendous if Ivan rests the entire squad. And so then, even the only good thing to happen to the Tigers this year is still Ivan's fault. Rishi said, if Edwards was primed for one of his patented crap games, taking himself out may have won it for us. Crichton looked the best he has at fullback. I don't mind leaving him there and bringing Targo into the centres next week, but if Dylan is fit, he will surely play. Yeah, I think you're right. And finally, Anthony came out and said, Bunnies came out good but looked gassed at the end. Trouble under the high ball. I'm sure other teams will be trying to kick between Mansour and Latrell. I would like to say well done to the Panthers, but they can get fucked. Such a negative attitude.
Excellent. We move to Saturday up at...
the Knights, 22. Defeat of the Bulldogs, 16.
Where was this again, Rocky?
A highly entertaining game. Newcastle really put on a fantastic performance and overcame the Dogs, who were spirited, if talentless.
I see you've gone to a fugue state here. Let me snap you back into reality. The Sharkies 50 defeat the West Tigers 20. Brown Park goat track. The Sharkies 50 came through a double to the good Katoa. The good Siona Katoa. A double to the Moot. And it would have been a hat trick. However, he dished one to give Luke Metcalf, who ended up with two tries. It's his first try. A double to Will Kennedy and Teague Wilton, the only guy who couldn't convert. So he's double. Trindle, 7 of 9 conversions. The Tigers, 20 came through tries to Cheekham, Malmalo, Talau, and Tulangi. Dewey, 2 of 4 conversions. I only had one thought on this game. I can't fucking wait till this episode of Tiger Town. That was my everything that
happened. As in to see Madge's fucking.
Oh, everything that happened in this game, I'm just like, I can't wait to see what he says at halftime. I can't wait to see what he's saying in the box. This was so bad, even Simon Dwyer is going to fucking pipe up, I'm sure of it.
Nah, the mountain doesn't talk. He won't utter a word.
The mountain's going to reveal that all this time he hasn't been a mountain, but he's been a volcano.
Oh, this was a fucking tough watch. But I took my medicine and I watched every one of the 80 minutes. And there was a couple of points where my wife, who was trying to be supportive and sat by me, so I was watching it on the couch, where she was like, why don't you just turn it off? This can't be good for you. It's getting worse. You're literally shaking.
Did you have your watch on with the heart rate thing?
No, the band's busted. No. It wouldn't have been fun.
May have been almost close to a record for a regular season match. Obviously the 100-minute game nearly killed you, but
yeah, it did. My body went into meltdown. But some of the defense. Look, if you take the situation and the fact that they needed to win to make to have any chance of making the eight, and the fact that the Sharks were under strength and all of that, if you put all of that aside and just think, there's two first grade sides playing in the NRL competing against one another, you would think that there would be a certain standard that a team would uphold defensively. And that standard was not upheld by the West Tigers at any point of this match. And I'd like to single out for special mention son of Kev, William Walters, who has been an absolute, in every game he has played, has been nothing short of a fucking diabolical liability defensively.
Yeah, you'd call him a speed bump, except he doesn't seem to slow down the person that runs through him.
No, he's like a ramp.
Yeah.
Like, people get faster after like they run over him.
It's like a rocket ramp.
Yeah. Hot Wheels, we'll call him. In every game he's played, yet he still gets picked. And lo and behold, he's a fucking liability again. Like, the attempts at tackle, there's no shoulder. You know, this is a kid who grew up playing in the backyard with his father, who was an international level representative player in this sport.
Friend, probably fucking uncle come around for barbecues. Fucking, why didn't Gilly throw him some tips? I mean,
what
he's probably
was he
around
doing?
Fucking smacking people around the barbie.
You'd think so. What was
Tony
Gilly
Carroll
doing?
Tony Carroll probably put in a fucking appearance or two.
What was Billy
Brad
doing?
Brad Thorne was probably there.
Peter Ryan? What, that guy was an absolute axe for his entire career. Did he never spend any time in the fucking Walters household teaching young William how to play the game of rugby league? That he's now made it, ironically, to certainly from a club perspective, the absolute pinnacle of this sport in the world. He's out there as one of the 34 players picked to participate in a match of the pinnacle of the sport. And he can't fucking tackle. which some would say is a fairly critical element of this game.
Do you think he just hasn't found his why? Maybe he didn't fucking find his fucking why, Glennie.
The West Tigers are a fucking good team. And they're always in a game. Except this one and several others this season where we have not been a fucking good team and we have not been in the fucking game. Michael, for fuck's sake, I'll buy your fucking snake oil match. I'll buy it. I'll buy a case of it. But fuck. Like, I literally, every time I saw someone run at Billy Walters, I was like, that's, they're going to make break it. And every time they fucking did. And they kept, you know, we said in the other game about going, kept going back to the well between Mitchell and Mansour. Fuck me, didn't they just keep running different plays at Billy Walters? And inside him, he's got a kid that's a prop that's played four first grade games who, as it turns out, has the lateral movement of the Manly fucking ferry. Oh, just fuck me dead.
So
I want to give Madge the benefit of the doubt, but is this pack of players, 17 collective players, are they just fucking uncoachable?
But why do they keep getting picked then? If they're uncoachable, he said, there's fucking reserve graders knocking on the fucking door. What are they knocking on the door for, Michael?
Well, they were knocking
to ask
on the
if
door.
They can leave?
No, they were knocking back. They were knocking on the door
pick
in
us.
June. That episode where he said that would have been June. They've given up now. The door, no one opened the door, so they just fucked off.
Yeah, Madge. Yeah, it's us reserve graders here, mate. We're just knocking on the door. Just want to let you know. Please don't pick us in that fucking shit show with those other cunts. We're happy here winning games.
Yeah. Can I tell you what? If I'm Madge, I am firing up the Uncle Nick handbook. I'm having a barbecue at my place post-COVID, not a St. George barbecue, right?
One that's legal.
That's it. Now,
are we talking like a German barbecue where certain people, Billy Walters, I'm not sure of his heritage, but maybe he could be fucking set alight.
No. Look,
we've fucking broken him in fucking less than 6 months. Glennie, I'm talking about. Okay, sorry, continue, please.
Sorry, mate.
Oh, well, no, he's different. Do you know much about imprinting? It's why you will forever find things attractive that you did as you were entering puberty.
Like, right.
Like for me, it's...
we had this discussion.
Yeah, do you remember back in the early 90s? It was tan lines?
Yeah. Really I found this really odd when you told me the first time, and it's just as odd now.
it's just a thing. So the West Tigers...
What's their imprint?
Father-son coaching star player combos.
Fuck me, Dad.
And so it means that no matter all of somebody else's terrible fucking red flags, right? Like a girl could have red flags that have not been seen at such scale since Poland in 1939. And as long as she had tan lines,
she's good.
I would be enamored with her, right? That's why the West Tigers have signed Billy Walters.
Is the antidote, Madge gets sacked, Flanagan comes in and coaches, signs his kid.
Yeah, because he's been super successful.
You're gonna get Kevy.
Oh, fuck. No, isn't Billy going to the Broncos already?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, thank fuck for that.
Yeah, but he'll backflip.
Why?
Because it's just Manavi.
Fair.
Look,
fair.
Why are you questioning the potential ability of father-son coach combinations to flip-flop around when it comes to the West Tigers? I mean, you just come the fuck out of the Penrith one.
They don't flip-flop and stay.
No.
If I'm Madge, I've got everyone around for a barbecue at my fucking Meriton's penthouse, right?
With Justin Pascoe in Harry's room sniffing his undies.
That's Steve Roach broken.
Justin is nowhere to be fucking found. And then After everybody's had a few, I bring out the fucking nose beers. And then there's video evidence of all of them fucking on it. And then I send it to the fucking integrity unit and we cancel all their fucking contracts. I then march into that fucking office and say, that fucking snake or cunt is driving people away from the club. Make me the fucking GM of football operations. Fuck Sheen's off and give me a blank salary cap. Start again. Can you imagine going in there and saying the West Tigers have fired their entire first grade squad, like torn up their contract?
I did imagine this on Saturday afternoon.
You imagined it before then.
I think that's the only way that players want to come to the West Tigers.
If there's no one else there.
If there's no one from the West Tigers playing there.
Although the con in that scenario is a club that actually shows they've got the brass balls to hold players accountable for their actions may be something that players don't want to come to in some cases.
Yeah, and see, now here's the thing. You say that as a reasonable human being. I don't think there's an NRL player out there. I don't think Aaron Woods looks at himself and says, I'm a lazy player.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't think Anthony Milford looks at himself and says, oh, I'm a lazy player. I don't think Josh Dugan gets out there and says, I make poor life choices.
You know? I think Josh Dugan looks in the mirror and says,
I don't think Corey Norman's out there looking in the mirror saying, when I cross the white line onto the rugby league field, I am not staying doozy.
There was someone with a fucking doozy shirt at the game yesterday.
Did King hit him?
No.
It's not called a coward punch if you actually unload it onto a coward.
I did have Leo on my shoulders at the time. I should have just let him. Should have let Leo at him.
Thrown him on him like a spider monkey.
But there's your fucking reality TV show. There's your reality TV show. The West Tigers have fired their entire first grade squad. And then...
Tales from Ghost Town.
That's it. Who wants to be ninth?
Oh,
any more you want to say on that one?
Oh, special mention to the Mutt. Broken jaw. Still does his lap of honour.
Yeah. Did you see the scan of the x-rays?
No.
It's a fucking doubler. It's like down both sides of the...
It's on both sides, yeah. It's
the chin. No wonder the poor cunt was crying.
Yeah. Mitch said, nothing better than seeing the Shire's finest Mutt running rampant on the Tig Pies and a 50 burger on top. Chef's kiss. Hashtag up up. Hashtag Tigers in decline. Mendoza said, sorry, real dad. These pricks are going to be insufferable.
Fair.
Maybe we should have read that one first.
Grover said, you would have thunk they would have tried a bit harder. Poor Madge. And there it is again. The narrative that's come out of Tiger Town. Like it's been a career saver for Madge.
I think it's a masterstroke. And I don't know if it's a willing one or something that was engineered. But if he does get sacked, he walks straight into another job. Despite picking Billy Walters in that fucking side. Consistently.
Okay, I get the sentiment of what you're saying.
Yeah.
But who else is firing a coach, though?
Okay, maybe he doesn't walk straight in, but, you know, when the coaching merry-go-round starts up again, he's not a guy that no one's thinking of. He's at the forefront. He's a fucking, he's a passionate guy. We need a passionate guy in our club.
Well, he's also a premiership winner.
Yeah, which is why he got signed by the Tigers, and that's what they tried out. Madge is a premiership-winning coach. Yep, you're right. He won a premiership. Did he win a premiership with Billy fucking Walters in the side? No, he fucking did not.
One of my favourites, the Burpee Man on Instagram. He said to us, Noffer in defence offers people more of the line than a Colombian drug lord on a recruiting drive.
Is the Burpee Man like a CrossFit influencer or something?
The _ Burpee Man. I don't know.
Maybe he's just got gas.
I don't know. I just read what they write to us. I don't go and profile stalk them.
And I will, Jay, I hold you personally fucking responsible because I was blissfully ignorant to how David Nofaluma plays the game defensively.
How?
No.
How? He's like, you remember for a long time. Remember back when this would have been when you were on the show in your first long first stint. We used to talk about and laugh all the time about how you'd put money on first try scorer whoever was lining up against Blake Ashford.
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember?
Yeah,
that?
You're right.
Noffa is fucking worse than Blake Ashford.
It's a far worse. Like, far worse.
He amputated both of his legs and not getting his special lieutenant damage.
I love how I kick myself and you're like, that's not enough of a kick. I'm going to kick you even fucking harder.
Glenn is not going to be the coach of the West Tigers because he only recently realised that they haven't got Luba.
I didn't say, but for a long time I was blissfully ignorant. But now it's like it's getting out of hand. If it hasn't been for some time, just what is wrong when you're clearly that bad at it? What is wrong is just, you know what? I'm going to mirror exactly where my opposing winger is in the defensive line.
Yep.
So wherever he's standing, I'm going to be standing directly in front of him whilst being still on site. Surely that's the basics of it. Don't overthink it, mate. You don't have the fucking capacity to perform at that level. Just keep it real simple. Stand in front of the cunt.
Yeah, for fuck's sake. But he deserves finals football. He deserves to play State of Origin football. And as such, he does not have trust in the man inside of him. So he has to go in there and make his tackle as well.
He deserves to be at the same fucking barbecue enough. That Jay proposed
he's
earlier.
He's not the same. Yeah, he's not the same fucking wishful Origin, wishful finals level player as David is. So David has to go in there and fucking do it all. Thereby leaving his own patch of dirt exposed.
Our good mate, B.43.
This fucking bloke. Can only imagine.
The Noffa Highway provides.
It does.
That's us. Oh, and I'll give Sharky Dave a shout out as well. He said, Tigers tried hard, but the moot was too slippery. So thankfully for Sharky Dave, that one was low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. Also highly incorrect because at no stage did I really get the impression the Tigers were trying hard.
At all, ever.
But, you know, we've established over this year and many before it that if there's a reason for the Tigers to aim up on the day, they almost certainly will not.
Correct.
The Knights 22 defeated the Bulldogs 16 at Seabus in front of a bumper crop of 2,343, they say. I didn't know that the Titans' ground counter could count that low because, let's face it, we've seen some dire fucking
crowds. If that's what they come up with, imagine how bad it really was.
Yeah. The literally just fucking blue shirt trainer, orange shirt.
He's counted the players as spectators.
Yeah, the Knights 22 tries to Saifidi, Clifford, Tuala and Bradman Best. Clifford 3 conversions. Doggy 16 tries to Meany, Ryan James and Jaden Ockenbore. Flano 2 of 3 conversions.
Credit again to Ryan James and Corey Horsburgh for their efforts for the Dogs on loan from the Raiders. The big redhead in particular, certainly in the second half, was taking two hit-ups per set. And, you know, setting a fairly reasonable standard for the rest of the forward pack to follow, which they inevitably didn't.
Embarrassing, though, is that these blow-ins that are kind of, you know, been forced into service at a club that they have no stake or general passion for, shows becoming the most passionate and best players on the field.
The two blokes that have more reasons than anyone else in the side to not give a fuck, give the most fucks.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it speaks well to both of those players, though, as professional sportsmen.
Yeah, I get that as well. But also, how often does the new guy in the team, you know, who's not on loan, come in and add something in terms of energy or attitude or effort? You know, so it's probably not too unrealistic.
Fair. Obviously, last week we were made aware that Connor Watson has signed a deal to go back to the Roosters. I've had raps on him certainly this season, and thought that he was, you know, was probably being left a little bit short in the role that he was playing within the Knights, and he seems to be taking a bit more onus or being given a bit more responsibility, and the Knights look a better side for it. He's going to be a massive loss for them. I don't think they realise just how much, and whilst he is there, it looks very likely the Knights are going to play finals football with his experience and the way that he has been playing recently. I think he's a key part of what the Knights will bring to the table come finals time. Young Clifford settling in nicely in Newcastle. I thought he had a really handy game. Him and Pierce have only played 5 games together. They haven't lost when they've both participated in the game, which is a handy stat. But that combination after many more than 5 games is going to be a real force if they can both stay healthy, which is, you know, Pierce getting towards the tail end of his career is the, you know, there's going to be something in that for him to hold up his end of the bargain. But Clifford is he gets better every week. I like him as a young half. The only other point I wanted to make was Oakenball. He's copped a lot of flack and deservedly so, but his fucking try at the end of the game,
it was unbelievable.
That's one of the best I've seen for a while.
Yeah.
Great effort.
Isaac said Clifford quickly becoming a favourite. Yes, he is. Terry said, what a shit season from the Dogs. Still try of the year. There you go, Doggies fans. There's something to get your hopes on. Daniel said, fucking AIDS game, but hey, it's 4 on the trot. With games against the Titans, Broncos, then River Worms in round 1 of the finals to come, all aboard the hype train.
Mm.
I'll tell you, if you are limping into the finals, there's no better side to come up against in round 1, you know, if you're in the bottom half of the 8. Not Elvie on Twitter said, Tuala always has tries around him every game, whether he's scoring them or letting them in. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And Angry Middle-Aged Man on Twitter said, not the most impressive of wins for my Knights. You'd think you'd be pulverising the team anchored to the bottom of the ladder, but no, we'll let the Dogs have too much in the way of undeserved hope. Let's hope next 2 weeks are much better. That's it for that game.
The Eels 32 defeated the Cowboys 16. The Eels 32 tries to Blake, Pennicini, Gutherson, Lane, Smith and Brown. Gutherson 4 conversions. The Cowboys 16 tries to Helium, Lukey, Moshe Drecki and Granville. Holmes, 2 of 3 conversions. Are the Eels back?
No.
I'm shaking my head, yeah. I think
much will be made of Moses and the Eels apparently returning to form, and they're trying to create a narrative around that, but
yeah,
I certainly need to see more from them against far better opposition than what the Cowboys, have lost fucking 10 straight games, are going to offer up. This game was probably the epitome of who Parramatta are. Flat track bullies beating up on ordinary sides.
Even in that, though, definitely flat track bully, but the fact that the Cowboys were in this game for so many sections of it and were able to really play and pick apart Parramatta in certain situations, and the Cowboys are a team playing above their station. Like they had this little patch of form sort of just pre-Origin where they kicked up a notch, but they are a poor team even on paper, with a rookie coach who have had their star, you know, decade contract player either unhappy or out for the majority of the season. If Parramatta were looking to be back, in air quotes, then they needed to come out and thump them.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it. So.
Agreed.
Yep. I would agree as well. Go to the socials, mate.
Josh. He said, can't believe I put Nutho on the footy card. So for the game threads, for the shows, people that don't have the socials, where we get these comments. I've each week been taking photos of the footy cards of the teams that are playing and sticking them up. I didn't put him on there, buddy. That came like that. I don't get to select who's on the players, who's on the cards. So, you know, everyone gets a run. This is the podcast of equality. Stephen.
Participation podcast. Love it.
I've come to the conclusion that Sean Lane is a sleeper agent for all other 15 NRL teams.
Yeah. Look, listeners of the show will know, you know, how intelligent Sean Lane is. We've been over it in the past, a couple of years ago. And, yeah, there's a reason he's not at Manly anymore. Let's put it that way. And it wasn't the big bucks that Parramatta threw at him.
Daniel said, I think we just found the true issue at Para. Papali'i's pro-vaccine, and we all know Bryce's stance. And Little Buffalo on Twitter said, Parramatta back into the form that shows everyone we can still match it with the bottom four.
They had me there at the start.
That's it. On to the next one.
Roosters 40 defeated the Dragons 22 at Clive Berghofer Stadium in Toowoomba. The 40 for the Roosters came through tries to Egan Butcher, Copley, Tupanua, a hat-trick to Daniel Tupou. Sam Walker, Drew Hutchison also with tries. Tokaaho, four conversions. I was going to list the other guys that had conversions, but they all fucking missed. The Dragons, tries two, Maguire, Rawalawa, Fiai, Sullivan, and three conversions to Zach Lomax.
Toowoomba turned on a little bit of a show. It's great Look weather. Good. Yeah. It's privately owned, Berghofer, and the groundspeople there, they fucking invest a fair amount into it. It looks good all year round. Jack's played a lot of footy there when he went to school went to primary school across the road, and it's always in fucking good nick, that ground. And yesterday was no different. Oh, sorry. Yeah, yesterday was no different. I thought the Roosters in the first half, Teddy had a half of footy as Teddy version 1.0. he was fucking everywhere. He was outstanding. Ran the ball and just popped up through the middle consistently. The Dragons showed a bit of fight to get themselves back into the game and snuck into the lead at one point, but it was pretty scary how easily the Roosters, even with the amount of, you know, quality players that they've had out of the side and guys that have retired, etc. But it was so easy that they got the ascendancy back and then went on with it. So I really enjoyed my afternoon at the football. Took Leo to his first game, and it was a good turnout. As I said, ground looked good, weather was great, and pretty entertaining game of footy. The Roosters played some enterprising footy, and Dragons scored that try they scored off the tap through the middle. It was, brought the crowd to their feet, so, yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think the Roosters, they were doing it pretty easily. I mean, the Dragons did have a couple of chances that they bombed, but the Roosters just seemed to take all of their chances in that first half. And then they sort of just fell asleep a little bit, you know, just at the tail end of the first half and the start of the second half.
Mm.
But when the Dragons took that lead or got themselves back into the game, then they just went flick and the switch just went back into the on position. Four tries in 14 minutes and it went from, you know, losing the lead to blowing them away.
Yeah. When the Roosters settled into their structure and got a lot of movement around the ball and forced the Dragons to make quick decisions, they made several wrong ones. The Roosters, it just shows the quality of the coaching of the Roosters more than anything, I thought.
That's it. And that goes a long way to showing the benefit of again, being that 80-minute team.
Mm.
You know, and the Roosters are severely down on troops. But when the Dragons came back at them, the Dragons spent up all the fortitude they had getting that. And then when the Roosters said, okay, well, cool, we'll see that effort level and we'll raise you a tiny bit more, there was nothing left.
Yeah.
There was absolutely nothing left. Interestingly enough, the Dragons, how can I put it? what do you do next year if you if you're Anthony Griffin, you know, besides reading Mein Kampf in the bathtub? Who's your halves next year?
Well, if you know, I think it's two. There's two separate questions there. If you're in charge of the Dragons, or if you're Hook, because despite their ladder position, despite the fact that they've drifted out of contention to make the finals, he's still persisting with fucking Corey Norman, who's not going to be there next year.
That's what I'm saying. So next year, yeah. If you're Hook, so Norman's not going to be there. Who do you run out round one next year?
Well, you'd have to say, well, is it Ermoni? I mean, he has to be.
Has to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an absolute must selection. He's
surely he plays six and Hunt surely. Seven, yeah?
Surely, yeah. And then, obviously a healthy Ben Hunt slots into seven.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's definitely played his best football there this year.
Yeah. Nice. No, I agree. Anything else?
Well, the Dragons. Dragons fans. Yeah, no doubt they'll be gutted and you know shitting on their team, especially on social media. I've seen it, but they were up for this game, and the effort was definitely there in this game. They just weren't good enough.
Mm.
They're just not good enough. They're just not good enough to compete with a Roosters side that has about up to 11 out of their fucking first grade squad out. But I think that. The injection of youth that we've already seen in cameo appearances through the year get elevated into first grade at the expense of some of the dead wood, aka Corey Norman.
Yeah.
And I think that there are better times ahead.
Yeah, there's better times ahead. But...
I'm not saying they're going to win the title. Fuck, I'm not even saying they're going to make the finals. But better times ahead. Let's just keep it vague.
nice on the socials, Nick. To gee whiz, this Roosters side have some heart. Two on the bench and the others playing on one leg, and they keep turning up. I mean, it is the Dragons, but still. Nigel said, "You know the Dragons are bad when Lachlan Lamb looks like a first grader and Drew Hutchell is ripping you apart in attack." And John said, "Giving away silly penalties when they're on top and errors out of their own half." Sums up the Dragons' last three seasons. The only positives are Ramone, Lomax, Sullivan, and the fact that missing the finals means I only have to watch Corey Norman desecrate the Red V a maximum of two times. There is something worse than the Dragons' fan base, and his name is Smooth Corey.
Has he got a gig next year?
No.
Not to my knowledge, no. He's going to have to fuck off to England.
Surely.
Yeah. We all say, holding our breath, as West Tigers fans hold their breath, say, please no. Please don't do it.
Surely not.
The Broncos 24 defeat the Warriors 22 at Suncorp on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. The Broncos 24 tries to Milford Kelly and a double to Xavier Coates. Farnworth 4-4 conversions. The Warriors 22 came through tries to Montoya, Hiku, DWZ, Curran and Ewan Aitken. Reece Walsh, 1-5 conversions, and it was goal kicking on the day that killed them.
It was. It
certainly was.
I thought Milford had his best game in what feels
2 years
like,
easy, yeah.
Yeah, at least, three years. I want to say four, but
yeah.
He's copped a lot of flack, and this could easily be a flash in the pan, but.
Perhaps it's like, you know, decided his future's decided, and that's kind of off his, you know, off the back of his mind.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was legitimately good.
Yeah, and if that is the role, like if the replacing Benji role at South is what he's ultimately destined for now,
mm-hmm.
he could make a real fist of that.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought for the Warriors, Peter Hiku had a fucking great game. I thought
the evolution of his game though from being. You know, Manly, he's sort of, you know, he was being the centres and, you know, something, yeah. He'd deputise at fullback when he had to and that kind of thing. But just like the evolution of his game, he was throwing some fucking ridiculous balls.
Yeah.
Like just like sleight of hand stuff. Like the kicks, I mean, this game was characterised both sides with weird tries scored off crazy fucking bounces of the
kicks
ball
and
people sticking their feet out and, you know, the ball going this way. And the Broncos ultimately got the win through that very try, like, you know, with
exactly.
Kelly.
Exactly.
Like, just insane.
Reece Walsh is obviously devastated after missing his opportunities to take the game into Golden Point first with the conversion after the very fucking odd Uinaitkin try.
Although it wasn't actually a try, really, yeah. Let's be honest.
It was like I watched it was on Fox and then or KO.
Yeah.
So I heard that commentary and then I rewatched the highlights which had the 9 commentary, and okay. Both sets of commentators were like, yeah, clearly that's coach's hand, and this would be no try. And then the bunker's like, okay, the ball's grounded by you and Aiken, and we have a decision. And like, just both sets of commentators are just like dumbfounded as to how
the KO one was funny. I think it was it Kronk who was on the commentary, and he just kept talking as if it was a foregone conclusion. It was coming back red, and even after like the vision shows the screen come back, we tried, and he had to stop himself like 5 seconds later, going, "Oh, what they've given." clearly not. I mean, justice that they did, you know, that they didn't win the game, you know, via that try, I suppose. But
and you know, I probably am loath to give Reece Walsh more of a rap than what he's had consistently this year, but you got to give the kid some credit in a team with some, you know, some older heads in it. He was the one that stood up and wanted to have a crack at the 2-point field goal to send it to Golden Point.
And it was a fair strike too.
It was a fair strike.
Yeah, he wasn't far off hitting it, and the distance was certainly, you know, no problem at all.
Yeah.
Yep.
And some of his, you know, obviously guys that he'd played some of his junior footy with there at Brisbane, consoling him at the end of the game was a nice touch. But yeah, the Brisbane this last 4 or 5 weeks, the effort that they've shown and the willingness that, you know, clearly they want to play for Kevy and you know, I'm sure they all look forward to Billy Walters appearing next year. And I hope they do a lot of. I hope they do a lot of fucking tackling practice, because they're going to have to cover up some misses.
I'll tell you what, though, Glenn. To your point, if I'm a Warriors fan, whilst I'm not happy at the circumstances, fuck, it's good to see Walsh. That loss matters so much to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I agree.
That. How many times do you see a loss, and in that same situation, in a club that the player used to play for, they're up and hugging and laughing and joking and this.
Yep.
He didn't give a fuck who was on the field with him.
No,
he didn't give a fuck about, hey, I haven't seen you for a while, I've moved to New Zealand.
No, exactly.
You know, he was gutted. Yep. That's what I want out of my heart.
I watched him pretty closely in this game, and I will say I've watched Kalyn Ponga quite closely in a lot of Knights games. Just to get a, you know, my own sort of read on the, you know, the type of player they are as individuals, and I do that with lots of guys. But I find if you compare Ponga, obviously, you know, he gets a lot of hype and a lot of raps, and Walsh
is headed. You're bringing them both up together in the same conversation because you mean they're sort of like similarly hyped,
correct
players, yeah.
You're right, so they're. You'd say Walsh is on a similar sort of trajectory to hype-wise and media and all the rest of it to Ponga, right?
Yeah.
Walsh's movement off the ball, for me, sets him apart from Ponga. Ponga has patches where he's fucking brilliant and he seems to be everywhere, and then he can disappear.
Yeah.
Whereas Walsh, and you watch him, even if the ball doesn't go his way, he's fucking 100% primed and in position and ready.
Yep.
And I think that comes – he's played obviously a lot of footy. It looks to me like he's played a lot more footy in the halves and now he's at fullback. But he just seems to have a bit more of a feel and a hold on a game, whereas Ponga can come in and out and loosen his grip on a game, if that makes sense. And especially for a young player, I was really impressed.
Yep.
Which I think that comes though with being a half.
Mm.
In terms, you know, from the get go, your job is to push that team around. Whereas just by the very nature of being a fullback, you're by yourself a lot of the time.
Mm.
You know, so that's probably one of the things people don't talk about as much with James Tedesco. Like, as far as fullbacks go, for him to wear that dual hat of being the fucking loner, the one that's out by himself, but also having his involvement getting the team where they need to be,
yeah,
speaks fucking volumes about his talent.
Oh, he's fucking brilliant.
Socials on that game were, whoops, that's the wrong fucking game. That's the Dragons game. Don't want to read those shit cunt socials again. Michael said, where has this Anthony Milford been for the last 2 years?
Indeed. Milton Macca's drive-thru.
Josh said the Burrow is a buzz with all the Milford hype. Phil said, Walser's boot has lost this one for the Warriors. I don't know whether that was all that did it, but Ryan said, Reece Walsh looks like a Kardashian and kicks like one too.
Wow.
Said, fuck, I can't wait to sit and watch Milford win the Dally M for Souths next year on 300K.
Imagine.
Also, kill me. Todd said, who was the young half in the six today on debut? One try, two try assists, kicking game was on fire. He was electric. Hopefully Broncos has locked him away for the next few years.
Oh, now go to sleep. On that note.
That's us.
Yeah, that is. That's full time for 427. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. Go to thisweekinleague.com/links and you can get all the links you need, the social media communities, all that good shit. And particularly, if you want to support the show, consider joining our Patreon, patreon.com/TwillNation. You can also drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. Invite friends into the Facebook group, etc. We see you guys doing it all the time. It's fantastic. Love it. That's it. That's all I've got. Boys, have you got anything else you want to add before we pull the pin on this one?
That's it from me.
And coming out, you're coming down the mountain this weekend for a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It'll be probably a nice, warm Sunday afternoon.
Yes. I will be there. I will be there taking considerable amounts of fucking medicine.
I anticipate that I'll be enjoying watching my team dish out, not medicine, I'm talking like straight up fucking bags of morphine. And you'll be taking them, but not from my team.
Yeah.
We shall see. Wait and see what the team looks like tomorrow.
Outside of what seems to be the inevitable result, I am actually looking forward to it. As is my eldest son, who's quite chuffed about the raps that he's been getting from his Uncle Nate at my expense.
He is the greatest bloke we've ever seen. We know this. We all know it. We all known it for a long time. I'm just the person to fucking say it, put into words. But yeah, I fucking made the call and stuck with it.
I will say, he did manage yesterday at Berghofer to bring up the time where all of fucking 11, 12 years of age playing against rugby league powerhouse school, St. Mary's of Toowoomba, for his Toowoomba East public school year six. And I think he scored two tries, set up three, and he happened to remind me of that performance when we were at Berghofer. It's like, fuck, this is why we have banter in our house, mate, because otherwise Uncle Nate creates a fucking pro Jackson echo chamber and this is the result. So
I'm happy to help out.
That's, yeah,
he needs everything he can. Fucking Trey Young, they're nipping at his heels.
That kid's relentless, mate. So, please don't fall into the trap of feeling sorry for Jackson. Please don't do that. I need to have you spend a bit more time around him, and then maybe you'll see where Leo's coming from. Good times.
All right, boys. All right. Pull a pin, and I'll talk to you again in a couple of nights.
All right. Love. See ya.
Oh, fuck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.